Well, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the faith of a man by the name of Enoch. And we learned that Enoch was a man who walked with God and then he was no more. Well, before Enoch was no more, he had a whole bunch of kids. And then those kids had many kids and so on and so on. If you were to draw out Enoch's family tree, it would be this massive, humongous family tree. And you know what? You and I would be on the end of that tree somewhere because we're all descendants of Enoch. As you look at Enoch's descendants, there's some pretty famous people that you find. One is a man by the name of Methuselah. That was his son. And if you ever play any of those Bible trivia games, it's likely that you'll come across that question. Who was the oldest recorded man in the Bible? And if you can spit out his name, it was Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years of age. Well, another famous person who descended from Enoch was a man by the name of Noah. Noah was the great-grandson of Enoch. And today, as we continue our study in Hebrews 11, we come across this man, Noah. You'd open up this morning to Hebrews 11, verse 7. We're going to read a little bit about Noah. And I'm sure that you're all familiar. Every one of you here today, I would bet money on it that you have all heard of Noah and the flood. And even if for the world who's never been in church and maybe never even read the Bible, it's likely that much of the world has also heard about Noah and the flood. Well, let's read about Noah here in verse 7. It says, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Last week, if you were here, I mentioned two terms, and those terms were saving faith and living faith. And I said that you can't separate the two. They're connected. In other words, you can't say, well, I'm saved, I believe in Jesus, but then from that point forward, there is no living faith. There is no action accompanied to the faith. James says it well, that faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead, is what James says. And on the flip side, you can't say, hey, I'm living by faith, I'm walking by faith every day, but yet you've never been saved, you've never come to the cross and repented of your sins and been forgiven. You cannot have living faith apart from saving faith. For the cross is the only place where true faith really begins. And we all must begin at the foot of the cross to begin with God. Well, as we go on through Hebrews 11, this is a major point that the writer of Hebrews is making. And that is that our faith must be accompanied by action. True, genuine faith is accompanied by action. Now, I did not say perfection. I said action. There's a big difference between the two. And all you have to do is look at some of the names that are mentioned in the Hall of Faith, and you will find that many of these people were far from perfection, weren't they? Take a look at Noah. After he was saved from that flood, the Bible goes on to say that he went out, he planted a vineyard, and he sipped a little bit too much of that wine. He enjoyed the fruit of the wine a little bit too much, and he got drunk. We see that Abraham, after he was declared righteous by God, is recorded as a big fat liar, isn't he, as we read Genesis. We see that Moses was a murderer, David a murderer and an adulterer. And I don't mention these sins to make light of them or to excuse them in any way. But the truth of the matter is this, is even after saving faith, even after being declared righteous by God, many of us still fall short of God's glory. We still trip up. We can still sin miserably. We often find ourselves entangled by sin as we try to run this Christian race. Let's look at Noah's faith in verse 7. It says, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family." When we began our study in Hebrews, we saw what the definition of faith was. Remember that in verse 1? That faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And we came to the conclusion that faith has to do with the future, and it has to do with something unseen. And ultimately, our faith depends on the Word of God. Faith is trusting in the Word of God. And this is exactly what we see in the life of Noah. Let's look at what God said to Noah back in Genesis chapter 6. You turn back there, Genesis chapter 6. We find the account of God speaking to Noah. We know that in the days of Noah, it was a very wicked time, that the inclination of men's heart was only evil all the time. God was grieved that he had made man. And yet God had favor upon Noah. God was gracious toward Noah. Beginning in verse 11 of chapter 6, says, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, 'I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood or gopher wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door on the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you.'" If we jump down to verse 22, it says, "Noah did everything just as God commanded him." Well, what did Noah know? Noah knew this, that there would be a flood coming, and that flood was down the road. It was future tense. You see, Noah was not up to his neck in water when God said, "I want you to begin to build a boat." Noah was not in the midst of this cataclysmic flood when God said, "Noah, I want you to build that ark." It was down the road. It was in the future. But yet Noah believed God, didn't he? Noah had faith that what God said was going to come to pass. He trusted in the Word of God, and his actions were a demonstration of his faith. How so? He built the ark, didn't he? That was a demonstration of his faith in action, that he had true, genuine faith. And we see that he built the ark in holy fear, or in reverent fear of the Lord. Remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about Enoch and how he walked with God? We said there are different ways that we can walk with God. We can walk in truth. We can walk in the light. And we said one of those ways was to walk in fear. Remember that? Walk in the fear of the Lord. And this is what we see with Noah. But yet Noah's fear is not of the judgment of God, is it? Because Noah believed God that he would be spared that judgment. Noah knew that he would be preserved, his life would be preserved as he built that ark and as God spared him and his family. And a beautiful picture of this is in 1 John chapter 4. Let me just read to you 1 John 4, 17 and 18. It says, "In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." And while Noah did not fear the judgment of God, Noah did fear the God who judges. And so must we. You know, just like Noah must have been thinking, you know what, apart from that ark and apart from the grace and the favor of God, I have no hope of escaping the judgment of God or the wrath of God Almighty. And so too, we must ever be thinking, apart from the cross of Christ and apart from the grace of God, we have no hope of ever escaping the judgment of God when God's judgment falls down upon us. So in our lives, may we too have this healthy fear or this healthy reverence of God, that God is a God who keeps his word. What God said will come to pass, guaranteed. God is not a God who holds an idle threat over our heads. I think of Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus says you better be good for goodness sake. But what happens? We all get gifts, don't we? It really doesn't matter how we live. Many people view God that way. But it's not so, is it? God is a God who keeps his promises. He keeps his word. And you know what? That can mean either good news or bad news. For Noah, it was good news, wasn't it? That God kept his word. That God promised to preserve his life. And he did. He was saved. He was spared the wrath of Almighty God. He received mercy and grace at the hand of God. But for the rest of mankind, it was bad news. Because when the judgment fell, when the wrath fell, there was no place to run for safety. There was nowhere to hide. The door was shut. It was too late. And so today, if you are here and you are trusting in anything else besides the cross of Christ to save you, to spare you from God's wrath, I say, go to the cross. Run to the cross of Christ. Find shelter in the cross of Christ, just like Noah found shelter in the ark. Believe the word of God that says man is destined to die once, and after that we must face the judgment. Believe the words of Christ who said this, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. There is mercy and grace in the cross of Christ. And if you have not embraced the cross, do so today. You can be saved by faith in Christ, by trusting in him. You can no longer, you can escape the condemnation of God and come under his grace like Noah. Well, how can you and I have this holy fear that's spoken of like Noah had? The Bible tells us in Philippians 2:12 that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Notice the Bible says, work out our salvation, not work for our salvation, right? There's a big difference. How do we work it out? Let me ask you, how many of you like to work out? Anybody pump iron? Rich, you've been hitting the gym, right? We can tell, yeah. Anybody do the treadmill? Anybody do a gazelle? Anybody like to walk? Anybody like to do a little exercise? Yeah. Well, what's one of the key ingredients to having exercise benefit your body? A key ingredient is this. It is consistency. Consistency. And you know, I confess this time of year, the winter time, I'm real consistent with exercise. I don't exercise at all on a consistent basis. But you know what? Even when the weather is nice, if I just go out and run once a week or once a month, how much is that really going to benefit my body physically? Hardly at all. It must be done consistently, 6-7 days a week, in order for it to really benefit me. And the same is true in the spiritual sense. We must be consistent in our spiritual lives. If we set aside this book, or if we stop talking with the Lord, or if we stop fellowshipping with one another, you know what? What'll happen? We'll begin to lose our focus, won't we? And as we lose our focus, we'll begin to lose our fervor for God. And as we lose that fervor, you know what? Sin will look real attractive to us. And in fact, we'll begin to love sin more and more as we forget to do the things that we ought to do to keep us on the right path. And one of the lies of the enemy is this. You don't need to consistently read the word. You don't need to consistently pray or to fellowship in order to have a healthy relationship with God. That's one of the lies of the enemy. He will whisper to you and he'll tell you, you know what? You know the book. Oh, you've read it a few times. Heck, you can quote it. You're a walking concordance. You don't need to read the Bible anymore. Rest on your past knowledge. And oh, those sweet prayer meetings you've had in the past. Remember when God moved great and mighty and he did great things in people's lives. You saw healing. You saw great things. Rest upon those past days and the sweet, warm, fuzzy fellowship times you had. Remember the past days of great fellowship. You don't need to keep doing it consistently. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You know what that's like? That's like saying to Noah, who has the boat half built, "Hey, Noah, you don't need to pick up any more wood. You're good to go." We all know that's crazy, isn't it? Noah had to keep consistently, day by day, building that boat in order for it to be completed. And when we think of Noah, it's difficult to know how long exactly it took Noah to build that boat. The Bible's not real clear there. But one thing I think we can all be sure of, and that is this, that Noah did not build that boat overnight, did he? Probably years, many years it took to build that boat. And in our Christian lives, it's the same way. Our life, our Christian life, is often a long, long span. Most of us will never get to understand what the thief on the cross went through, right? He came to Christ, and then in a moment, his race was over in a matter of hours. Just like that, his race was done. For us, most of it's years. It's a long process of walking with the Lord. Most of us have a lot of years to live out our faith. There's a lot of years of building and running. And you know what? The longer we live, the more we may be tempted to put our spiritual lives in cruise control rather than pedal to the metal. We need to be watch out for that. And so for us, Noah is a great example of living faith, who lived out his faith in a consistent way. He plugged away day by day, board by board, until he finished what God had set out for him to do. What's another way that we can work out our salvation with fear and trembling? The prophet Isaiah says this, that God desires that we be humble and that we tremble at the word of God. That when we read the word of God, we are awed by it. That we understand it is authoritative in our lives. We take it seriously. We see that God has given us the playbook. He's given us the instruction manual for our lives. And we're to live according to it. Follow it like Noah. Notice that God gave Noah specific instructions, didn't he, about how to build a boat. 450 by 75 by 45. This is the type of wood I want you to use. I want you to have a lower deck, a second and third deck. Exactly, precisely how to build a boat. He didn't say to Noah, "Hey, Noah, just whatever. Whatever floats your boat, Noah. You just go ahead and do your own thing." No, he gave him specific instructions. And God has given us specific instructions in his word. Name your topic. Name your topic. Marriage. If you're a husband or wife, the instructions are in here. How about family? Are you a parent or you're a child? The instructions are in here. How about work? You're a boss, you're an employee. The instructions are in here. How about how to treat one another? It's all in here. How about love like Christ? It's all in here. How about money? It's all in here. How about your speech or your thoughts or your deeds? It's all in here. And most importantly, what's in here is how to be saved. How to know you can spend eternity with God, and that's through Christ and the cross of Christ. And you know, we can choose to do things our way, or we can choose to do things God's way. And when we choose to do things God's way, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy. I'm sure building that ark for Noah was not an easy job. And I'm sure that even when he got in that boat and the rain began to fall down, life was probably not peaches and cream inside that ark with all those animals. But I bet you this, that Noah, as the rain began to fall down and as that boat began to rise, that Noah had a tremendous peace in his God, because he knew that God was preserving his life, that God was faithful, that God was true, that God was worthy of trust, that what God said is coming to pass. The peace that must have reigned in Noah's heart must have passed all understanding. And you and I can have that same peace as we trust, as we rely upon the word of God in our lives. Well, let's go back to Hebrews 11:7 and look at the second half of that verse. It says, "By faith, Noah condemned the world." What does that mean? Noah condemned the world. Isn't God the one who condemns the world and condemns the wicked? Well, ultimately, yes, he does. But as you read the Bible, we find that there are some scriptures that would say things in a different light. 1 Corinthians 6:3, the Apostle Paul writes to Corinthian believers, and he says this, that, "Do you not know that we are going to one day judge angels?" Jesus, when he spoke to his disciples, said that they would sit on the 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Paul, writing to Romans, said this, that God would soon crush Satan under your feet. You could say under our feet. What does that mean? We don't have a lot of detail, but it's likely that the picture that is being painted for us is this. This is that because we belong to Christ, we are joined to Christ. And though all authority and judgment has been given to Christ, because we belong to him, somehow we will join him in this judgment that he will pour out. And so when the Bible says that Noah condemned the world by his faith, it's like saying this: by faith, Noah declared to the world, "World, you missed the boat. World, you missed the grace of God. You missed the opportunity to be saved." And because of that, condemnation fell upon the world, and they were drowned. Second thing we see is that Noah became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah was declared righteous by faith. And that's what the gospel of Christ is all about. Romans 1:17 says this, "For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed." And that righteousness comes by faith. When you and I believe the gospel, which is that Jesus came and that he died for our sins and that he rose again, the Bible says that we are declared righteous in the sight of God because of that faith, because of that trust that we put in the Word of God. The Bible often speaks of believers who inherit eternal life. You've heard that phrase, right? We inherit eternal life, and that's an awesome thought. But you know what? The only reason that any of us will one day inherit eternal life is because we first inherited the righteousness of God. That because of faith in Christ, we are robed in the righteousness of God. Not our own righteousness, but the very righteousness of Christ. And so one day when we walk the streets of golden heaven, and the Bible says that there will be no impure thing that ever enters the city of God, how can we ever walk on streets of gold in the city of God? Because we're robed in the righteousness of Christ. God has imparted his righteousness to us. And so we have that hope if we're in Christ. Well, there's a lot more that we could say about Noah and the flood. But today I hope that as you leave here that you will remember this one truth, and that Noah, he was a humble man who had a simple trust in the Word of God. He had a true, genuine faith. How about you? Do you have a true, genuine faith in the Word of God? Have you embraced Christ and his cross as the only way to be saved from that flood of condemnation that will one day fall upon mankind? And if not, then I plead with you to go to the cross, to put your faith in Christ. The Bible tells us this: if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. That's a promise. The Bible says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. Have you put your faith in Christ? Have you called out to the Lord to be saved from his wrath? And if you do know him, is your faith alive? Is it active? Is it like Noah, who every day was consistently serving the Lord, building the ark? Do you get up every day and build your ark for God? And as you do, let me just remind you of what the scriptures teach, that as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, the next verse, Philippians 2:13, says this, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." And so as we work out our salvation, as we live this consistent life, don't ever forget the power that enables you to do that. It's God in you. So that all glory goes to God, doesn't it? All glory goes to God. Give God the glory as you run the race, as you build the ark that he asked you to build. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your servant Noah. Lord, we know that Noah was wicked just like any other person in that day, but yet his faith in you, his trust in you, his reliance upon you set him apart from every other person that lived. And Lord, we see his faith in action by trusting your word. Father, help us to have that same faith that not only believes that we can be saved, but live out that faith day by day, moment by moment, Lord. Father, I thank you for each and every person here today, and I pray that each and every person would first and foremost be saved by the cross, that they would run to the cross for shelter, for forgiveness and mercy from you. And Lord, help us just to continue to walk with you in fear and in love. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.